Hello and welcome to Ordinary, a podcast that aims to help Christians live for Christ in everyday life. My name is Josh Bannister and each week I'm joined by Graham Nichols and Mark Bentham, both pastors of Christchurch, Haywards Heath. Evolution is a topic of great interest for Christians. Views on the development of life and the age of the earth are many and varied in the Christian world. And so today we ask the question, is it okay for Christians to believe evolution happened? And even more broadly, we discuss whether there is any conflict between science and God. Enjoy the podcast and I'll catch you on the other side.
Hello, my name's Graham Nichols.
And I'm Mark Bentham.
And my name is Josh Bannister, and you're listening to Ordinary. Welcome back to Ordinary. Today, we are having a conversation around the idea of evolution. Just to give a quick kind of recap or a bit of context as to why we're talking about this, because there's loads of reasons why we could talk about it, but yeah, I guess it was inspired by, again, the Rhett and Link podcast that we spoke about earlier on when we were talking about heaven and hell. We did a couple of podcasts on that, and that, it was kind of fueled by this podcast that Rhett and Link did, who are famous YouTubers in the States, got a big audience, particularly young people, and they were speaking about their deconversion experience. And two big factors in those podcasts were the idea of, the morality around hell, and also evidence for evolution beginning to undermine their trust in scripture and in God. And so I kind of listened to those and thought, right, we need to talk about this because this is so sad. It's such a relevant problem. And these are issues that we want to be talking about on Ordinary. It's also interesting, Mark was telling me earlier that the Gospel Coalition have now done a blog. Is that right?
Yeah.
In response to the podcasts?
More in terms of what they call deconstructing their deconversion.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's interesting is that although reading the blog, that it wasn't that actually they landed on the issue that was the real reasons why, that, you know,
mm-hmm.
often people give those kind of reasons of why, but actually often there's something else going on underneath, mm-hmm. would be my hunch.
Yeah, so I guess today what we want to do really is we might start to talk about evolution as a theory and evaluate some parts of it. That might be a part of this conversation. But I guess a bigger part of this conversation is going to be about what is evolution for a start. Let's just give it a little bit of definition as a concept. And then, you know, to what extent is it okay for Christians to believe that? Can you be a Bible-believing Christian who is relying on God's word, who wants to seek after truth, and also believe that evolution occurred in some sense? Is that possible? Was it necessary for Rhett and Link to leave their faith behind in order to accept the theory of evolution as a mechanism? That's what I want to talk about today, and just address some of the ideas and misconceptions that tend to float around in Christian circles about this. And we'll even talk about bigger picture to do with science in general, and so not just evolution, but what is science? Do we need to be scared of science? Is science in conflict with the Bible? And ideas like that. Is that okay with you two?
It's good. Completely okay.
Okay, brilliant. So I think maybe we should start by, Graham, can you give us some kind of lucid explanation or some kind of idea about what evolution means? Because I've got a couple of notes about some things that it can mean, that people can mean when they say it, because there's several ideas built into the word evolution.
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to get immediately into the different, I suppose, shades of it, but I suppose in general, it's about, in biology, things changing, and normally they mean changing to improve. So in the way we use the word in common language, really, that things evolve, like any processes or any meeting or any artistic endeavor evolves, meaning it changes, it improves, it grows, it matures. So that's sort of in general how the word is used. But in particular, to do with origins, it's used to say, this is the definition of a process that pretty much explains both the origin and the development of the complex life that we see now.
Origin?
Origin and development.
You think it explains the origin?
I think when people use the word evolution, they assume not just processes of natural selection. They're assuming a worldview that includes the kind of primordial soup shaking around in a blender and eventually turning up with some slightly more complex proteins that could be the origin of life. So they tend to include that, although you might say it's not strictly evolution because it's kind of one-off event that creates that first sort of piece of protein that could mm-hmm. be life. Mm-hmm. People tend to use it to explain the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, probably in our heads, people also include the whole cosmological kind of origin as well, but that's slightly different. You know, the Big Bang Theory, the whole sort of existence of the whole solar system. But more particularly, it's the origin and development of life to its complex form, I would say.
Yeah, so it's the idea that that our kind of current-day organisms are descended from earlier organisms with modification.
Yes.
I think it's probably worth saying that maybe... Well, it's worth saying, as Christians, certainly, that there's no theory that even gets close to explaining the origins of the universe. Evolution has nothing to say about that. And I think, to be fair to people even like Dawkins or, you know, evolutionary biologists who peddle this hard, they would also completely agree that evolution is not a theory about origins. It's a theory about how life develops once you've got stuff. Now, I think you're correct in saying that sometimes the assumption of lay people is that evolution explains everything. It yeah. explains how life started. It doesn't explain how life started. Let's be clear about that. Evolution as a theory explains how life develops, not how it starts.
Yes, but it would tend to be used as a way of explaining how, from that very first point, life develops in complexity mm-hmm. by, in sort of modern evolutionary theory, by advantageous mutation, really. Natural yep. selection, mm-hmm. advantageous mutation, mm-hmm. which creates a better product, mm-hmm. Which survives a bit more and gives birth to some more better products, which also mutate and mm-hmm. improve. So
yep.
It's a pretty demanding theory.
Yes.
Where from a few proteins, you get people as complex as you and I.
Yes. And I think this is what Christians often struggle with, is the idea of common descent.
Yeah.
Which is an element built into evolutionary theory, which is that organisms all developed from one single source, essentially. So there's common descent.
Yes. And I think Christians would be reluctant to take that on board entirely, because they would think more about a common designer. Mm-hmm. And some of the debates would be around, okay, how did a common designer, what mechanisms did a common designer use, and so on. Mm-hmm. But rather than get into the detail, you had some questions maybe about science and religion in general, science and Christianity.
Right, yeah, right. So as we said in the intro, we don't want to get too in-depth about the theory, but I think let's start to talk about then, let's ask the bold question straight away. Is it okay for Christians to believe that some form of evolution occurred?
It depends on what you mean by okay, I suppose. Are people who believe that still Christians? Absolutely. I think in terms of, I suppose, the validity of what they're thinking, it depends a lot on how they got there. So how did they get to that theory? Did they get to that theory by a kind of responsible process of looking at scripture, looking at evidence, try to work out the role of scripture, work out the role of science, and they got somewhere, which is quite different to saying, I'm really not believing the Bible account, and I'm really persuaded by science, and so that's where I get there. So I think it's a lot to do with the journey as to how you got there, as to whether you would say, not so much, are they a Christian or not, but is this a helpful view to hold? And so I think journey is quite important. Does that make sense?
No, I think that's the really helpful. I mean, you're talking macro and micro as well. So macro, this bigger theory. Micro, you know, species evolving, you know, beaks on a bird evolving. You know, I don't think any Christian will have a problem within that. You're talking this bigger macro theory. And I think it is exactly what you're saying, because I think that it is only a theory. But I think too often as believers, we get swept up and thinking, right, this is it, it's fact, because it's presented as this is absolutely factual, absolutely the way the world, you know, every scientist is lined up with this. This is the way, you know, in the way in which we understand the way the planets, you know, go around the sun, as it were, you know, the galaxy, you know, the reality is it's not proven in this way. So there is still room for disagreement.
For healthy skepticism.
Absolutely. And, you know, there are lots of scientists now who aren't believing in evolution, but going with an intelligent design. But I think the danger is, which is what Graham is highlighting, is that often we get swept up and think, because we're made often to feel it in the schools, in our colleges, in the culture, that unless you're holding to evil, you're some kind of thicky who hasn't quite grasped what science is doing, and you're holding on to a kind of outdated view. And so we're more pressured by culture than we are by actual understanding, because actually we've believed the lie that the culture is presenting, which is evolution is fact, and if you don't believe in evolution, you're completely and utterly, you know, an ethandrel who has no understanding of science or the world. And I think that's where the struggle is, and that's where the issue is. Because I think that's where we want to start saying, hold on a second.
I think people sometimes talk about the conflict between science and Christianity, or science and religion. And I think you can go in different directions. You could say, you know, they're totally in conflict, which I think is wrong, because that's an assumption that everything that science is saying contradicts the Bible and vice versa. So I think that's wrong to say they're in conflict. I think you can completely separate them, which I think is also wrong, where you say science and religion have nothing to say to each other. They're completely different disciplines. I don't think that's true either. Because I think all the time in life and in the Christian life, you're moving between those worlds. And I think science helps you know that you can boil a kettle and it'll work, and drive a car, and there's all kinds of things just in everyone's daily lives where you're both using science and in some senses applying science. Science in the very loosest sense of, you know, how the world works, and you know how gravity works and all that, so you walk around and have all these assumptions. And you're not having to look at the Bible every 10 seconds to work out, is this okay to walk down the road? Mm. You're using your common sense of the world. But there is a kind of an overlay to say, where the Bible does speak about something material, then there becomes an overlap. So it speaks about something material to do with the world, the created world, the materials in the world. And you can't then say, well, it's not talking about origins, or it's not talking about how the world works. It's got nothing to do with, you know, science has a complete explanation for how the world works, and religion is just to do with how the spiritual world works. So I think you've got to find a sort of place in between.
Do you think it's wrong? How we've talked about this before, and I've got a bee in my bonnet about all this, so you might have to temper these questions, or I should probably temper them on the way out of my mouth. But do you think it's wrong? Do you think Christians need to be aware, though, not to be asking the wrong questions to Scripture? We've talked about this before. There's the clear example of Bible-believing Christians in the past who would have considered the earth to be flat, because they would hold a view that the Bible says the four corners of the earth is held up by pillars. They took that literally. Actually, Galileo comes along, we find out over a painful, long process, that's not true. And Christians suddenly go, oh, actually, why were we reading that literally? We were asking the text the wrong questions. Do you think Christians sometimes are guilty of, in a somewhat lazy way, looking at the Bible and saying, well, I haven't done any research into evolution as a theory. I've never read one book, listened to one podcast, but I'm just going to dismiss it, and I'm just going to take the Bible literally, because actually, is that asking the Scriptures the wrong questions?
I'm sure it is.
Well, I think there's a couple of things there, isn't there? Yeah.
There's a lot of things there.
You know, we spend a lot of work in our church, you know, helping people to be able to read the Bible properly. Mm-hmm. So we recognise there's different genres, and we recognise that there are some parts you read literally, and there's some parts that you don't. I think there's another argument that's kind of behind that one, which actually I think gives a greater weight to the science than it does to the Bible. So actually, what am I saying is my ultimate authority? At the end of the day, my ultimate authority is Scripture and God.
But surely it depends what question you're asking.
Well, no, because at the end, there is always an ultimate authority, which is God. Science is not my ultimate authority.
Correct, but you can't ask the Bible a question about atoms.
Sure.
So where's the authority lie in the answer to that question?
Sure. I agree on that. No, but I suppose that basis.
If you take a boiling kettle, for example, to ask the Bible the question, what temperature does water boil? Mm-hmm. That's asking the wrong question. The Bible doesn't have an answer for that. Mm-hmm. But there's a whole load of presuppositions underneath the boiling kettle, which is God creates order, mm-hmm. and God creates repeatability, mm-hmm. Which is kind of helping you both take the observation and apply it in a way that assumes that God's created a world of order.
Yes.
And so you'll 100%. Assume water will always boil 100 degrees and so forth. So in a way, nothing's un-Christian, even simple activities like that.
Yeah, completely.
And I think that's the thing. So if your ultimate authority is God and Scripture, how you then seek to interpret the world is going to be different from the atheist who says, actually, there is no God and seeks to understand the world.
Yeah.
So therefore, where you end up with a theory is going to be very different. If you suddenly got no God in the picture, you don't want any creator, because actually you don't want, actually, the truth is you don't want to be held to any moral standards. You don't want to, you want to be out of the freedom to rule yourself. Then actually the theory of evolution will fit you for that. Life's by chance. There is nothing. We're just going to die. So that's what I'm saying. The ultimate authority will begin to help shape how you view and understand and interpret those events.
So perhaps,
I think the difficult question, which I think you're getting at really, is if you kind of narrow down, because we're talking in general, when you're talking in particular about origins, there is a question to ask to say, does the Bible give answers about origins which we need to stick to? I think that's a really important question.
Sure. Can we come back to that question, though?
Yeah, but it is answering your question, which was, are we asking it the wrong questions?
Yes.
In a way, we have to work out whether it's a question we can legitimately ask the Bible. I think we'd all agree the Bible doesn't answer lots of scientific questions.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly isn't a science textbook, and it certainly isn't an origins textbook. So the question is, does it give some information that we need to stick with?
So I think this idea of, I want to go back to this idea of authority that you're talking about. I just wonder if it's I wonder if the word is unhelpful. Perhaps it's not. It sounds to me like you're talking about sort of presuppositions. So where are your starting points? So if you come from a presupposition of naturalism, that's going to be different from if you come from a presupposition of there is a God.
Yeah.
But I think this idea of authority creates potentially or perpetuates the idea of conflict. So John Lennox has this thing that he talks about where he says God no more competes with science as an explanation for the universe than Henry Ford competes with the law of internal combustion as an explanation for the motor car engine. God is an explanation at the level of an agent, not a mechanism. Right? So, and actually, perhaps the more sophisticated the mechanism, the more we understand the mechanism, the more it points to the involvement of some agent.
Yeah, but I suppose in a way that brilliant quote from John Lennox gets to part of the problem, which is if you observe a car, is there any evidence that the car was designed and produced in a particular way, or is the evidence and the authority that you would expect it to create itself, which is basically the theory of evolution? So although it's a brilliant analogy to say, yeah, there is a distinction between the Henry Ford and the car, and there's nothing wrong with him using natural processes to create the car. That's absolutely right. Because you're talking about the origins of the universe, are there natural processes that God uses to create the world?
Mm-hmm.
Or does he actually create all the natural processes that create the world? So I think it's a good soundbite, and I agree with the distinction, but I think it's more complicated, that's what I'm saying.
Mm.
Because where does God start and stop? Because in order for evolution to work, God has to create a number of natural processes.
Mm-hmm.
So you're then getting into, you're having to make a decision, well, where does God exactly start and stop? Does he actually create the first cell, but then not the second one? And does that kind of make sense of... Mm-hmm. the Bible?
And I think that's what I mean in one sense is, so there are lots of questions, but actually how you understand Scripture, understand who God is going to begin to help you understand all that else is going on with your origins question. If you go with an evolutionary theory, which, you know, talk chance and then we're developed from apes, you have got to then at some point deal with the issue of Adam and Eve. How does Adam and Eve come about? Does God break in at some point to change us from apes, or were Adam and Eve apes? So in other words, you have got an issue. So that then works out, hold on a second, if they've developed Adam and Eve are created in a certain way. Does God step in? Does he breathe life into them in a different way? How does that correlate with what Jesus says about actually the first man? You know, well, are they first man? Because actually there was eight. You know, in other words, your scripture is informing something else, which is what I'm saying about the authority. Where you're going to end up going is if you've got to decide in terms of, especially on a theory, are you going to say, actually, well, this doesn't seem to quite fit with what else I know of God and his character and who he is. So I think that's what I'm saying in terms of, there are bigger questions than just, do I understand Genesis 1 and 3? The whole way I'm understanding scripture is going to be informing everything I'm thinking about, you know, science and its understanding.
Yeah, I think the simple point, though, just to make it again about that whole mechanism thing, is just to say that you don't argue away the existence of an agent by showing how the mechanism works.
No.
So, for example...
Make that clearer.
Okay, so a watch is blind and unguided,
yes,
but it was designed.
Yes.
It operates in a way that's blind and unguided. It has a mechanism, but that doesn't mean that you argue away the fact that an agent created it.
No.
So you have explanations at the level of mechanism and at the level of agency. And so I think for me, if it's not become clear already, it's perfectly possible to have an explanation at the level of a mechanism that says the universe appears to us from all of our experiments best to show that it's potentially old and that this process of evolution seems to have occurred. Okay, I'm not an expert on that, but that is the majority opinion in scientists. So without relying on authority, I'm going to say I don't know that much about it, but most people who are very clever and smarter than me think that that's what happened. Okay, that is an explanation at the level of a mechanism. That does not remove the need or argue away the explanation from an agent. And so it's perfectly legitimate and consistent for me to hold that there's an agent cause and that there's a mechanism in place.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I am really with you on not asking the wrong questions of scripture and not overreaching with the Bible explanation. So I'm with you on that. So I wasn't trying to say you weren't. So I think the overreach is a problem. I think the problem with what you're just saying, so I just knocked the mic, sorry everybody. The problem with what you're just saying is there's a whole load of presuppositions in there which are not pure science. It's about how you interpret data and so on. So I'm not sure any of us can approach it entirely free of of presuppositions. I think as a theoretical concept, God can use any mechanisms, whether it's evolution or whether it's some other, you know, nuclear combustion process that, you know, creates life in a number of crises. So, of course, that must be true. And it doesn't mean that God's not there just because a known mechanism creates.
Exactly. Or that mechanism is not guided.
No, but it's not quite as simple as science has all this authority in this area and Christianity has this authority in this area. There's a much bigger overlap, and actually all science in a way has to be interpreted in the light of scripture at one level or other.
Yes.
And I think particularly when it comes to origins, that overlap becomes much more, much greater, and the necessity to work through. And it's let's be honest to everyone who's listening, this is a really hard topic because of the need for expertise. So you can just say, well, I think, you know, most people think this.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't done a survey of most people. Most of us in this room probably don't understand all of us, I think, don't understand the mechanisms of, you know, microevolution, macroevolution as propounded. We haven't got a complete list of the fossil record. We don't know where all the fossils are, what ones are missing, you know. We're not into geology and carbon dating and isotopic dating. We're not into all that. Mm-hmm. We just kind of hear snippets. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard. And most people I've observed who are evolutionists and Christians in some way or other, they haven't got a joined up sort of narrative. They've got sort of bits of evolution. I think the word evolved, but probably not. They haven't really thought through all the theological implications of that, you know, because most people haven't read the books by theistic evolutionists who are sort of putting forward a theory. Most people have just kind of hamming it up, really, my observation of it. Yeah. But similarly on the creationist side.
I hope Freudian, on the
Christian side. On the creationist side, there's also a load of hamming it up going on where, you know, people have, you know, one fact.
Mm-hmm.
So they think, Mm-hmm. Oh, that just proves it. Right. And I think the weird thing is the creation, the adamant creationists have fallen into the same trap of saying, well, actually, we believe the Bible, but they've ended up worrying too much about science to prove their case.
Okay, and this is where I want to go now, because I feel that my position, is to say I am open to wherever the truth leads. I believe that all truth is God's truth. If God used evolution, that's fine. I'm open to that. If he did it in special creation in a literal number of days, I'm fine with that too. I'm just saying I'm in a position where I'm open to going where the evidence leads. Now,
are you open but cautious, by the way?
Yeah, we'll leave that for the next podcast. I'm open but cautious. Yeah. And so then I want to say that, do you think though, because this whole Rhett and Link thing happened because there was dogma around the idea that no, you can't believe that, and there was ignorance around the fact that it was termed as a load of rubbish, and there was a great deal of fear, and I sense a great deal of fear among Christians around the idea of evolution. People hold it at arm's length. It has an air of don't even start looking into that because you might find something that could just be credible. And in that sort of way, you give a huge amount of power over to this mystical, mysterious theory, which people don't actually properly understand, rather than putting it in its appropriate place as a mechanism that is still consistent with a biblical worldview. So talk about that, because I just worry that Christians start to paint a picture and teach this idea, whether explicitly or implicitly, that you must believe this or else you're not a believer.
Yeah, I think it's really hard when you have a view as a Christian not to some degree assume that it's true. And I think it's of course possible to believe God used the mechanism of evolution. I only ever encourage people to say, so how does that line up with scripture? Not, tell me what bit of science you just learned that, you know, it makes you really nervous about the idea of special creation, but just show me from the Bible why that's true. And I think most people haven't really thought that through. So that's what I'm more worried about. I'm not so worried about whether someone has a view that, you know, God could have used that mechanism. As I said a bit early on, really, it's kind of how they got there. And I think it whether authority is the right word, but I think it still does come back to this. Do you use science entirely to interpret the Bible, or do you interpret the world, the natural world, using the Bible, rather than using the natural world to interpret the Bible, but using the Bible to interpret the natural world? And I think we want to be using the Bible to interpret the natural world.
Yeah. Even that, though, don't you think, sort of assumes that the natural world is separate from the Bible? But actually, in reality, if you're a believer, you believe that God created the natural world. The natural world is sometimes called God's second book, yeah, God's second revelation. Sure. So in studying the natural world, it's not like we're doing something separate from understanding who God is.
No, I think that's... Yeah. And I think that's right. And I think that there are certain things you're going to have to hold as a believer. You know, you're going to have to hold God created. You're going to have to hold he sustains. You have to hold that he does it with order. So there are certain things you have to just believe. I think the thing with the theory of evolution these days is that it's loaded with other political ideologies as well.
Sure, yeah.
And I think that's the biggest difficulty. I don't, you know, at the end of the day, you know, can people hold to a theistic evolution and be believed? Absolutely. Do I think it makes sense? Not really. But you know, there are certain things you've got to put in place. You've got to hold to a literal Adam and Eve. You've got to hold to a literal fall. You've got to hold to certain truths that Scripture are proclaiming. And I think you then end up having to work that backwards.
Yeah. I think that's the issue, because when we talk about conflict between science and religion, we don't really have any conflict. I think the conflict is between an evolutionary ideology and Christianity. That's where the real conflict is. And
absolutely,
I think there is real conflict. If we've only got a minute left, I won't say anything else.
It feels like we could go on and on, and we could, because it's just scratching, not even the surface.
We've
really
talked
near the surface.
Evolutionary ideology at some point.
Yeah, and I think perhaps we want to maybe do a podcast on Genesis and ideas around interpretations of Genesis 1. But maybe that's all we've got time for today. If you do have questions based on today, which I'm sure you do, because I have about a million other questions, then email us. What's the email address?
ordinary@cchh.org.uk.
Okay, get in touch. Thanks for listening to the podcast. That's all we've got time for this week, but we are going to pick up this conversation again next time. So make sure you join us, and we'll see you then.